Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast, Jack Harbor is our guest. He's with Sandler Training Institute. Hard by, very near, over in the Montgomery County part of the world in Maryland, but very near to our nation's capital. Jack Harbor is our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our salesmanship experts. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you back, as always.
Well, it's good to be back.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see how it would be great to be with me.
Of course.
How would Jack, I'm just thinking, okay, we got a little more than a quarter left in this year. The economy's picking up a little bit. It looks like the light at the end of the tunnel is not another train coming at us. It looks like it actually is daylight. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's time to maybe get our salespeople out of the doldrums. If we got folks who have been kind of down in the mouth about the way the economy's been, maybe it's time to get those guys out and dust them off a little bit and spruce them up, give them a little bit of training, give them a little bit of help, get them motivated, come up with some plans so that we can try to benefit from you know, this last quarter of the year, but maybe almost as importantly, if not maybe more importantly, have them shifting into high gear at least by January 1st. What do you think?
Well, obviously I'm a little prejudiced on that point, but I absolutely agree. The problem with this time in a recovering economy is either one of two things for a lot of folks. One is they say to themselves, it hasn't turned around enough yet. I'm still recovering. I haven't got the money to invest. Or it's turning around now, so I don't need to invest now. Both of those, in my opinion, are kind of short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a good time. I'm sure you hear your prospects say that a lot. You know, well, when spring comes and the weather turns around, then I'll buy from you. And it turns out there's never a good time. You have to make it happen.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to get you to help us with is how to get our salespeople. What are you telling your clients right now about? What their folks need to be focusing on right now? I mean, is it different for every one of your clients, or is there something that you're seeing that's sort of a marketplace-driven, how things have changed maybe over the last two or three years? What are you seeing out there?
Well, you're right. It is different for different businesses and industries and clients. For example, the last year, 2 years, have been wonderful for folks in the mortgage business, terrible for brokers, for investment people. Now it's starting to turn around for both of them. So it is different by industry. But the point is that when things are down, you have to learn to celebrate small victories. You have to pay closer attention to your folks. You have to be aware of the fact that they don't get enough positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's particularly when times are down and you'd really like to have the big business focus on the little things that happen and happen right.
So what you're saying is maybe it's been a long time since anybody's hit a home run, certainly a grand slam, but they are out there getting bunts and you know, somebody's getting on base every once in a while, and we need to recognize that and just sort of be glad for what they've accomplished so far.
Absolutely. See, I'm from Chicago originally, so we learn to celebrate little things.
Yeah, with the Cubs.
With the Cubs, right.
Yeah, and the White Sox.
Well, hopefully different this year, but that's absolutely true. It's the hardest to do, but probably the most important when times are down is to recognize the little victories, like you said, the singles and the bunts. When you're really sitting there looking in the mirror and say, you know, to win this game now, I need a home run. But enough singles will bring in the run.
Well, here's the thing that I think we need to be thinking about. You and I were talking about this back in the late 90s when things were just absolutely busting wide open, and probably nobody wanted to talk about training. Nobody wanted to talk about fundamentals very much because in those days, basically, companies just unlocked the front door and got out of the way. Customers were all over them.
Yep.
And so people were saying, we don't have time to train. We're too busy filling orders. Well, you know, it's not going to be like that for a long, long time again. I mean, the economy is going to pick back up. But in the future, you're going to have to earn that business because there's not going to be any monopoly money, at least not for a long time, I think. There's not going to be any monopoly money floating around like we had in the late 90s. So you're going to have to earn the business. Even though the economy is getting better, you're still going to have to earn that business. So to me, at the time when things are, you know, maybe still aren't as good as they're going to be, say, in a year, to me this is a perfect time to sit your folks down and get them ready for when things are going to be busy again. Because when it gets around to that point, they're going to say all over again, we don't have time to train.
And I think that's what the really good companies do. When times are good, they say they aren't always going to be this way. This is the time I should be sharpening my axe. And when times are bad, they say it isn't always going to be this way. Somebody's going to come out of this mess ahead. Mm-hmm. Might as well be me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be looking at the current condition. You got to be looking ahead. Today's results, the results you're getting today are a function of what you were doing 3-6 months ago.
It's a pipeline, isn't it? You put something into the pipeline today, and it comes out of the other end in 3 to 6 months.
And you can't
Or maybe a year or two.
Yes, and you can't squeeze it through there faster, no matter how hard you try.
Right. So what do we do? What do we got to do these days to load the pipeline up?
Well, this is absolutely the time to be out when perhaps your competitors aren't. If some of your competitors are still sitting around saying, business is good or is bad, people aren't buying yet, I'm going to wait till business recovers before I get a chance to sell anything. It's this time of the year when the good folks are out meeting the people for next mm-hmm. week, next month, next year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out calling on your prospects now, you may be the only one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical that they see you now so that when the opportunity does exist, they'll remember who it was who came to visit them.
I remember so many times when something happened at a prospect's business and how proud I was of myself that when I called on that company to talk to them about what was going on at their business, that they knew that they had, it wasn't the first time they'd seen me. They knew I was there when things weren't going on. I was there when business wasn't so great. I went by to call on them. I took them to lunch or whatever. And I remember thinking how proud I was that I had laid that groundwork before, you know, the opportunity showed up.
And
stand by, Jack. Folks, sure. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jack if the marketplace has changed for salespeople over the last 20 years. What's it going to be like in the 21st century? Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Jack Harbor is our guest. He's with Sandler Training Institute. Jack, give us your website, please.
Website is www.bc.sandler.com.
And one of the things you kind of specialize in, Jack, is helping people who are sort of the professionals of the marketplace, the architects, the dentists, the folks like that who may not have a sales background, sell their products. You teach them how to do that, don't you?
Well, yes. The one thing they have in common is that they're, you know, all good at what they do, and they've got lots of training in that area, but are often uncomfortable and having to go out and sell themselves or market themselves. And if they're comfortable at it, they're usually not very good at it because they've never had that training.
Mm-hmm. Jack, and by the way, if somebody wanted to contact you, they'd go to dcsandler.sandler.com, right?
Yes, and if they're not in the Washington area, they can go there and give me a call, or they can go to the franchisor's website, which is just www.sandler.com.
That's how they can find a Sandler representative in their area.
That's correct.
Yeah, so check that out when you get a chance, folks, and they've got several programs that are good for to help you get your sales folks trained. Jack, in the old days, and I'm talking, you know, maybe as early as even 10 years ago, but certainly 15, 20 years ago.
I'm not sure I can go that far back.
I know, you don't remember that far back, but I do. I'll help you out here, Jack. In those days, customers basically waited on salespeople to come by and bring them the new offerings or to refill their stocks or, you know, whether it was raw materials or whether it was consumables or whatever it might have been. Every company had the companies they did business with, and every one of those companies had salespeople who came by and called you. Maybe they called on the phone, but somebody knocked on your door, and a fair amount of time was taken up with salespeople. That has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we used to call milk roots. I don't know if you remember that term, but that's the folks who cycle around to the same, you know, dozen folks all the time. They go up and they schmooze for a while and then sell something and move on to the next one.
And if a new business opened up, you just dropped by on them and spent a little time with the owner or with the purchasing agent or whoever.
Yes, like you said, I don't know that they were waiting, but they certainly were never, they were accustomed to having that happen.
But all the stuff that they bought from a salesperson typically. Now, there may have been a little bit of catalog business, but basically they had a salesperson who handled that for them.
Who they relied on to keep them updated about what was going on.
Exactly.
They
were like a little partner with them. But things aren't like that anymore in many cases, are they?
Well, the electronic age has done a fair, if you don't show up, they're not going to wait. They're going to buy it. They're going to look on a website or look in the internet to find someone who they can either call over to inform them about what's available or get a bid from.
Mm-hmm. So selling has changed significantly.
Well, with one exception in my opinion, Jim, people still, if they have a preference, will buy from people they know and like.
Right.
So that this change in the industry does not absolve us of the responsibility of getting out and networking and meeting people and being of service to those in our prospect and customer base.
But every company has to understand that the customers, that their customers don't just have other options with other companies who have salespeople calling on them, but they have lots of other options. They have options on the internet. They have options, by catalogs. There are a lot of different ways that people can buy from you, and your salespeople have to understand that, don't they?
That's yes, absolutely true. There are more alternatives than there used to be, which probably makes the job a lot harder than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a good old boy network that wins the races. It used to be this great deal the case.
Used to, you could drop by, tell them a joke, and if you had a good product and you told the truth and you delivered what you said you would. You know, as long as you had a good joke every time you went by, you know, you could get the business.
And sometimes you didn't even need to tell the truth.
So
but you're right. the price of admission at the time was a whole lot different than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I'll tell you, for myself, I don't want a salesperson dropping by on me unannounced or even announced. I don't interview salespeople like I would have, say, 25 years ago.
That's true. So if you are going to get an appointment with a decision maker, you need, there are other alternatives that you've got to, or other, other processes you have to have up your sleeve other than a cold call.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a visit and leave a card first. A whole lot easier to drop in on that person if, in fact, you have met him or her,
mm-hmm.
at an event someplace first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the skids have to be greased a lot more than they used to be if you're going to be able to get an appointment with a decision maker.
Right, and in my opinion, you sure better have something you can leave behind, like a brochure or something like that.
Well, something that will cause them to know who you are and where you are in the event that they need to pop up later on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many you have to leave. Get a piece of business.
Yeah.
But if you don't leave any, you won't.
Jack Harbor, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time. Jack Harbor, ladies and gentlemen, with Sandler Training Institute, and he'll be back. I've got to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with Grace Marie Turner. We're going to talk about your health care expenses and what can any of us do about it. 29 After, the show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.